Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Happy day after Thanksgiving. It's Black Friday is what it's called.
Not so much anymore. I mean, it started like 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. hope you're getting over the tryptophan high from the turkey. And this is Chuck and Julie Stroh, True Straight Up, brought to you by
ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Great website to check, along with Dr. Julie McCallan and Cenogenix. And also a new one, Gina Martinez, the lady who does my hair, formerly Blondie's. And I'll tell you more how to get hold of her later on. We're hoping to get Patrick Neville on. Monday, the state legislature goes into special session.
Well, that'll be fun.
Well, you know, they could save themselves a lot of time. Just open restaurants. Go ahead. Open restaurants and businesses. Let gyms go back to business. You don't.
They're not going
to
do that.
No, all it is, when you look at, and I think it was at Colorado Peak Politics or maybe Colorado Rising Action. I have to grab it. Somebody did by Monday a great rundown of all the stuff that's on tap for the special session.
Yeah,
it's just like a progressive wish list, right?
Well, that's all there are.
Yeah, money. There doesn't, nothing go. I mean, you know, the restaurants will get like a buck. Mm. And then there's some Green New Deal
down. Oh, thank God for that.
You know, climate stuff, homeless stuff. I mean, it was just it was just ridiculous. Where the state, well, we know where the state thinks it's going to get the money from us.
They're not going to get it from us because...
Well, there's no money to give anymore.
Well, they're going to get it from Uncle Joe Biden.
No, yeah. But he gets it from... I mean, sooner or later, you got to pay the piper, right? You would think. Sooner or later, they're going to increase our taxes. Well, Joe Biden's already said he's going to increase our taxes.
Well, we're getting our state taxes cut.
Yes, a little bit.
Yeah, so they're not going to get the money there. They don't get the huge gusher flow of money from raising all the home.
Now we've got to pay now for all of the paid family leave. We've got to pay for Medicare. These guys just like live in Christmas land or something like that, where everything just happily comes together. So we'll talk about that a little bit if we get Patrick. And with all kinds of stuff going on, the Amir Hancock scandal, basically a Twitter war involving Denver school board member Tay Anderson, who posted a racist tweet.
Tay Anderson.
And that guy has the thinnest skin. I gotta tell you.
A fat bully. He's got the more thin
skin. Oh, now we're going to be a dad. They're going to try to get us. Yeah.
That's right. That's racist. Fatness is racist.
That's right. The other thing that came out today, the Pennsylvania court threw out the Trump lawsuit
Pennsylvania court. It's the third court of appeals, Philadelphia.
Up to the Supreme Court. Meanwhile, great decision, I think, by the Supreme Court right before the holiday. Thank goodness, for Trump and Amy Coney Barrett. And then also the other thing we can talk about too is this John Hopkins study, which Twitter, the censorship is just outrageous. Now, I was trying to go to the One America News Network site, right? And I keep getting I'm putting in the exact address. It comes up like a 403 forbidden code, right? So, that's like, seriously, you won't even let me go there. Twitter was for a while censoring Sidney Powell's link. It's a publicly filed lawsuit, and they were filing the link. Well, the John Hopkins thing, this study is down too. I'll briefly mention it and then we can get into some of the other stuff that you had going on, because I'm not sure if we're going to get Patrick or not. John Hopkins, which I'm assuming like most academia organizations is probably pretty liberal, right?
No.
I don't know. Some are, that would be
no,
my
no,
guess.
No, they all are. There are, Hillsdale College, and then there's all the rest of them. I promise you, John Hopkins is extremely.
So, wealthy. I mean, this is the poor professor, whoever the research assistant who did this is probably out looking for a job now.
Right.
So they did a study looking at, and this is what we said a long time ago that we have to wait and do this year. Let's take a look at the total number of deaths regarding coronavirus, right?
And just totally in the whole, you're not just. People who died.
Just the total number of deaths. I mean, theoretically, if you listen to the mainstream media, everybody in there, where there's like five of us left in the whole country
anymore. No, but we lost according to the statistics, you know, what, 250,000 people?
Right. Well, I mean, an outrageous number of people. Well, it turns out, according to John Hopkins, looking at CDC data, that there was...
Not CDC, just deaths. Just
right, but deaths. I mean, deaths from CDC and other places too. Right, I mean, so right. It wasn't like she, I mean, these were, this was mainstream, reliable, you know, she
Which
wasn't going out.
CDC.
Well, she wasn't going, she was using their numbers, I guess is what I'm saying.
They don't print total mortality numbers, but there are other agencies who do.
Okay, whatever.
Well, they don't.
Okay, they do, but we're not going to get into that now because you're digressing. So what she found though was that this year, the total number of deaths is essentially unchanged from previous years.
Right, right.
The number of people who died across the board is the same as it has been for years and years, and maybe not years and years, but for previous years.
Yeah.
What she found, interestingly, typically the main causes of death are heart attack, I think respiratory, and then like pneumonia type illnesses, right? And she found that those deaths were dramatically down. Now, there's no legitimate reason why all of a sudden no one's dying of heart attacks anymore. And the reporter or the report concluded that actually what was happening is they were calling other deaths COVID deaths.
Right.
So there's no other explanation. The other number of deaths didn't magically stop. And so basically proving what we've been saying all along, that it is no more or less dangerous than any other flu season, any other thing. And so, you know, rather than sending all this out to the liberal governors and mayors and saying, guys, look,
fraud.
Yeah. Well, you don't even say that. Just say, hey, we can open up businesses. You can go to church. You can sing in church. You can, you know, have your Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner without a mask. Businesses don't have to go out of business anymore.
No
what do they do? John Hopkins takes down the report. It's like
saying it's being misused.
Yeah. So factual information, which is
misused.
But that's I think this is only going to get worse if Trump doesn't pull it off. They're just gonna crack down. Thank goodness for the rise in some of the alternate media sources. But I mean, just what a joke. And you'd think, hopefully, that somebody at the Colorado legislature would raise their hand and say, Governor Polis, before we bail out the restaurants, why don't we just let them open? I mean, just call me crazy. That just seems like the most cost-effective thing and the best thing all around.
Not gonna happen.
We're hearing that there are rumors, and I don't wanna say where, but I think there are growing moves for restaurants like in Loveland, where a bunch of restaurants sort of signed a pact and said, we're all going to remain open. There are rumors in other cities, other municipalities and counties of restaurants wanting to do the same thing. You saw the Tri-County Health Department first, like Tom Tancredo was telling us, Wednesday, went in and they closed down those restaurants and stayed open there. Well, they've said now they can open, they have to do takeout, but it's, you know, I mean, I think that people, and we'll get into the whole Mayor Hancock thing too, but people get that you know, they're not going to die from this. Maybe they'll get sick, they'll recover, and we don't need to shut down the entire economy.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. 50 million people traveled this past time, and that's not quite as high normally, but still, that's 50 million people giving the finger to to our public health officials and politicians and others who are saying we're doing this to save lives.
Right.
So let's go to Mayor Hancock and in particular Eric Sonderman's article. Now Eric Sonderman is a public pundit. I mean, he had a consulting firm, I guess.
He was for years. He was sort of a go-to. This was before the Trump era, when you know everybody and their mother wasn't a political commentator. And Eric Sonderman had, I think, a political consulting firm, and there were a couple reasons. I was telling you, one of the reasons is if you're familiar with downtown Denver, all of the TV stations are like right next to each other. They're kind of like at Sixth and Spearish, and he had an office real close to there. And Eric Sonderman, that was part of the reason. One of the other reasons he was so popular is he was good. He's a nice man. I always personally liked him. And you know, you can get in and out of there.
I always found him just arrogant, self-important.
Did you know him personally or?
I had him on the radio program various times. Sometime when you weren't there and stuff. So yes, I knew Eric. I'm not his best friend or anything else, but I found him pompous, self-important, and often wrong. And that was my own.
Well, that's like a lot of political commentators.
Well, and not really. But what he had, which is great for the media then, he was a Democrat center left. He wasn't wacky left, and he wasn't hyper partisan. And so if You wanted to have somebody who was considered bipartisan. He wasn't. There's nothing bipartisan about it, but he would criticize Democrats. And right. So that's that constitutes in media land a bipartisan, totally down the middle kind of guy. And so now he's on Complete Colorado and the Denver Gazette, owned by Phil Anschutz. And those Phil Anschutz's opinions probably are pretty close to those of Eric Sonderman. I mean, I think he's center left and all that. So he wrote this article, and it's a lead on Complete Colorado, and which he trashes
Mary Hancock.
He's not only stupid, but he's arrogant, and you combine.
And he's talking about if you missed it. So Mayor Hancock and Channel 9 did do a good job on this. They actually got video of him sitting at the concourse waiting to get on the plane while the tweet is going out
saying
stay at home. And he's held numerous news conferences and he even lied, essentially saying he and his family were getting together on Zoom.
He
left things out. Right. And so, of course, he's a typical hypocritical Democrat. Right. He's telling all of us to stay home and while he's flying to a Thanksgiving gathering.
Yeah. Down in Mississippi, which while you go to Houston, I'm sure there's some little interesting tidbits there that we may not ever find about. But he just blasts
Hancock
and says that Polis should have criticized him and all that. But then he gets to the point in the opinion what really makes him so angry, which is that he and his wife, they have two kids. One lives in Philadelphia, the other lives in New York. No kidding. Really, I wasn't surprised by that. That's where the two would live. They told them, we won't come to you. You don't come to us.
It's too dangerous. We need to do what the politicians tell us.
And this is a part of the article I loved. It is neither overly dramatic nor hyperbolic to suggest that some people will die due to Hancock's atrocious choice.
I don't mean to laugh.
Hopefully this will not be due to direct exposure, but
what otherwise would it be due to? I mean, what's going to kill them?
Well, this is what he goes on. But many people who would otherwise listen to the person fortunate enough to occupy the office of mayor will now tune them out. Understandably so. Unless the virus will spread further with all of its intended.
Okay, wake up, Eric Zonderman, wake up.
You're an idiot,
wake
Eric.
Up. There are no more deaths this year than there have ever been. I said the bigger question to me is Eric Zonderman, as far as I ever could tell, was a smart, bright guy, perfectly capable of making his own decisions. Why Eric Zonderman and his family are letting Mayor Hancock, give me a break, of all the mayors, why they're letting Mayor Hancock dictate their holiday plans.
Because if you're a center leftist, you believe in government, you believe what politicians tell you. You believe you ought to. Well, that's what he believes. And that's his central core system so that, He would find that we fought.
You should have believed Mayor Hancock about anything. If Mayor Hancock
told
you.
Nobody's a mayor. Just listen to the tone says. Many people would otherwise listen to him. Fortunate enough to occupy the office. You're a fool, Eric.
Right. Yeah. Well, we can open the phones up too. 888-627-6008. Any of the folks on Zoom, if you want to chime in on this, just go ahead and unmute yourself. Sandra says, what you saying? Okay. Oh yeah. Or you're getting paid off. That's exactly right.
They don't
right.
pay anything.
Nobody. This is a thing, and this goes back to what I'm saying. And the media and the corporate media and the Twitter and the Facebook and the YouTube people are all cracking down, trying to keep the truth from coming out about the coronavirus. What I find so encouraging is on their own, people are just ignoring it.
Including those giving the advice.
Mayor Hancock, Andrew Cuomo,
and
Newsom.
Governor,
I mean, think about that for a second. If Hancock really thought, and so Eric, get a clue here.
Get a clue. He doesn't think that,
He
Eric.
Doesn't think that. Now, why doesn't he think that? He's the one talking to the health officials. The only people who think that Mayor Hancock is going to end up killing people because he flew on Thanksgiving. Are people who are...
because Mayor Hancock told
them
to.
We got some swampland in Florida.
If he told you to blow your head off, why don't you just do
it? I know, Eric, we got a GoFundMe page. Maybe you can contribute to that, too, because we're going to help the children. I mean, it's like, give me a break. These politicians, the Democrat politicians are trying to reset, and I really believe this is the world order, which means reallocate our money, take money away from us and give it to themselves. Did you see the people who own Walmart? They've made billions during the pandemic. Jeff Bezos, billions during the pandemic. The rich are getting richer. The poor are the middle class are being forced out. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you've got, and the political elite know this. I mean, Mayor Hancock, so he issues this lame apology saying, oh, I thought with my heart, not my head. So can the restaurant say that? If I'm a restaurant, can I say, you know what? I thought with my heart that I wanted to feed my family, not my head. So you should just, you know, let me off. And there should be, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's time. White collar politics didn't say, Eric, we can't accept this. It's like, no one should ever, anyone who thinks.
Because they believe exactly like Eric Sonderman does.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't believe any different. They thought this is the brilliant. That's why they featured it, you know.
Yeah. They're featuring it because they think they're criticizing Hancock, so it makes them seem bipartisan. Yeah, but again, you're right. Yeah. It's buried in there that, like, well, you know, hey, no one's going to believe Mayor Hancock. No one should believe Mayor Hancock anyway. I mean, just as I will say, I mean, Candy C. DeBaca, you can at least kind of believe her. I mean, she shoots straight. I may not agree with her, but you know where she's coming from, and she's consistent, right? And, you know, none of these politicians, they're not wearing masks. They're flying. They're living their lives because they know the whole thing is a fraud and a scam. And it's all designed. It has nothing to do with your health or my health or anyone's health. It has everything to do with money and not making more of it for us, but making more of it for them. Well, and control. They want to control us. Yes. It's why we have these unelected bureaucrats in Tri-County. This is really astonishing to me. So the city of Castle Rock says, we're not going to enforce these laws. The sheriff says, we're not going to enforce these closing down orders, right? So the health department goes around the elected officials. So you can have an elected official. We vote for these people. We elect them into office. And some unelected bureaucrats, a handful of them, turn around and can overrule our elected politicians. I mean, and they can close down businesses. To me, that is a dangerous place for us to be, I think.
Yes, it is. And I'm not sure where to go. I'll go back to. So I checked out another Eric Sonderman column because it was referenced in the other one with GOPs and endangered species. I'd like to give you his analysis, which is about as dumb as his analysis that we ought to follow. The mayor, not following the mayor, is going to cost us all our lives. But that brings us to the Supreme Court decision, 5-4. In which the court said that Cuomo's edict with red alerts and all the color-coded ones and so forth was unconstitutional in its orange and red ones because it limited you to 10 people or 25% of the capacity was ever left. And it was just a wonderful, if you enjoy reading legal opinions, and I do.
you can tell. No, I'm kidding. You do other fun things.
and so, I mean, it was just amazing. The fight that broke out between the Chief Justice Roberts and Gorsuch is just, every once in a while you'd see it with Scalia, but just amazing. Gorsuch always impressed me.
He seems like kind of a mild, he's from Boulder.
But he just scourged the Chief Justice in a prior opinion in which he basically wrote a concurring opinion telling everybody, all the lower courts, I guess the lower federal courts, that they had to now follow the dictates of the local health official. I had to give deference to.
Right.
To give deference to the, and of course, Gorsuch in part implies, he doesn't quite state it, like, you don't get to do that. I mean, you're the Chief Justice, but your concurring opinion is no important or less important than anybody else's concurring opinion. And you don't get to direct everybody, even though you think you are Chief Justice, but that doesn't give
you don't get to tell everyone else what to do.
Everyone else what to do. And it was interesting how Roberts came back. One, he had before saying gave great deference to these wonderful local people, you know, the ones that are accountable to the people in crooked elections. He said, we don't need to decide this. I mean, they lifted it just as after they filed this
emergency. So it's not moot anyway.
And Gorsuch got that. And Gorsuch said, yeah. And now they'll reimpose it. It'll never get questioned.
Right.
And your stupid little dictate that we all have to follow local health officials would be the law of the land for whoever knows how long. And so it's just a scoriating of ones. And then he would say, you know, the left in the court was torching and tearing apart the Constitution in the name of the pandemic. And he said, well, it may be okay for the Constitution to take a holiday, but it can't be a sabbatical.
Well,
and which was really true, because now this is a year later.
And
it was just brilliantly attacking him. And what he was trying to do, Roberts was hoping to, okay, I won't join the other three, but I'll say, let's just not decide this.
Which in its own way is joining them.
Yeah, well, maybe Amy Barrett's not all that bright. Maybe I can get her to come on over to my side. And we'll say, well, no, we're not saying it's okay. We're just saying
we're not going to decide right now.
No need to. We don't know, need to have services and weddings and funerals. have none of those type of things. And it was an amazing kind of, the majority saying that, you know, they're destroying the Constitution in the name of the virus, and the other saying you're killing people. And that's literally what the minority three said. This will result in deaths of lots of people. They're Eric Sonneman. I mean, this is going to result in the death of millions of people, or tens of billions, or whatever number they come up out of their fertile brains. But it's and that fight between Roberts and Gorsuch and maybe others is I have a feeling is just going to start to break out.
Well, and you know, and here's the thing about the bureaucrats. This is, and again, all of this, it's the Democrats essentially taking advantage of the crisis, and it is spineless Republicans not standing up. Because the health department is doing what health departments do. I mean, it's their job to look after health, right? So they would say everybody should lock down forever so no one ever gets sick. That's why you have lawmakers who can, and city councils. That's why the Castlerock thing is particularly disturbing, because the lawmakers should be able to override the health department. Because if you're a lawmaker, you take into account, theoretically, all kinds of issues,
well,
right?
See, what they're saying is, of course we are, because we're following the governor's dictates. Well, and the governor is over the whole state, and therefore Castle Rock can't exempt itself.
But that's what we need legislators.
Well, we've watched these health officials, including Fauci, nationally and locally, and you know, whoever they hit it. Idiot is head of Trout County, as well the weird one in Pennsylvania. I have to say, I said I didn't know they were this awful.
Well, and here's the thing:
they're not health officials; they're petty little idiots,
bureaucrats. And do you think for one second now they're going to say, "Oh, we were wrong"?
No, they
have all this power. 888-627-6008. If you want to give us a call, 888-627-6008. Hey, let me. This is from Mark, Chuck, and Julie. Thanks for sharing the truth about the virus when none of the rest of society and media ever do. Oh, thank you. You're awesome for taking this on. Colorado Springs are now following Polis's red alert. This is from Sandra. Great bleeping job, John Southers. And you know, that's the thing. You need people like John Southers. You need them to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute.
We're doing this the opposite.
They need to say, we have this John Hopkins study that shows deaths are not up.
Yeah, but he's now closing down Colorado Springs, announcing it's a red alert. So here's a Republican.
Right.
That's the kind of Republican you don't need.
Right. In the meantime, then they're going to go figure out how to spend more of our tax money to bail out the restaurant industry when all they would have to do is
open it.
And we've talked about this before, that the idiocy that you can go stand in line at a crowded Best Buy or a crowded Target or a crowded grocery store, but you can't sit at a restaurant table
or a church service
with your friends and family. It's just ridiculous. And it is. It's the government clearly picking winners and losers.
All losers.
And the winners are the big global
and they're
corporations
fine, you know, they
and the billionaires.
They suspended their salaries or anything.
No, and they tweet from their yachts and stuff like that in the islands where they're going, you know. And Gavin Newsom goes to this fancy schmancy restaurant and nobody wears a mask. So they're all fine. And the rest of us, the ripple down effect. So we were talking to somebody today, you know, you don't even think of it, but somebody was telling us they had a friend who was involved in a company. And what they did is they kind of helped work with private businesses to hook people up who want to get further education, right? And one of their main clients, you'd think this would be extremely lucrative, as Disney. And this is a great program Disney had. Disney apparently would help pay for its employees to go get their college degree. And again, this person worked for the company that helped arrange that, right? Well, so what is Disney doing? Disney's laying off tens of thousands of employees. So now all of a sudden, tens of thousands of this person's customers, boom, gone, just like that. Just like that.
And that education.
And there's no education there either. So exactly. So this Disney park worker who is on their way to get whatever kind of advanced degree that they're going to be working on.
By virtual learning.
Yeah, is now gone, right? I mean, Disney can't do it. It's just the corrupt, the evil here, you know? I mean, the evil when you look at what they're doing and they don't care. And again, that's what is so so telling about Mayor Hancock is. Mayor Hancock is not worried about, I mean, he's getting on the plane for God's sakes, right? He's not even driving down there. Not only is he disobeying his own order, plus he was planning on coming back according to his person. He was coming back to work today, right? He was just going to fly down one day.
He's come back Monday.
Okay, no quarantining,
That's for the little people.
Well, and he told the city employees, if you go out of town, you're going to have to take 14 days off and you're going to have to use your vacation days. It's, it's just... it's disgusting. And the more that comes out about it, and again, so kudos to those restaurants and those businesses that are saying, hey, I'm not asking for permission anymore. I think I told you I had a friend who has a small business and I won't say what, but she said, I'm not closing. She said, what are they going to do? She said, if I have to close, I will go out of business. Right. So I'd rather go out of business on my own than have them put me out of business.
Yeah. Well, it's just amazing stuff.
It's just amazing. We can switch to, feel free, like I said, 888-627-6008.
Well, I want to go to Sonderman's other dumb.
GOP and endangered species.
Right. So Eric Sonderman notes that how awful the Republicans are doing in Colorado. And guess whose fault it is? Rocky Mountain gun owners.
Oh, good God. Dudley Brown. Yeah. Everything is Dudley Brown's a prop.
It's because he notes that, let's say, Hickenlooper won by 3 points in his reelection for governor of Colorado against a nothing opponent. And all of a sudden now he won this one by 10 points and all these other ones. He goes, well, not once does Eric Sonderman note that the big difference between those elections is now cheat by mail has been totally perfected by the Democrats.
Right.
Never once.
No.
Never once.
Well, there was somebody, I was retweeting a poll, and again, polls are what polls are, but saying like the 2/3 of the people surveyed thought that the ballot harvesting should be illegal. I'm like, hello,
vote by mail,
legislators, Colorado legislators and legislators in other states, wake up,
They got it. They've got the majority there have got it. A majority there because
Republicans wake up.
How can squish Republicans wake up when Clinton donor like Kathy Murdoch pours millions into getting more squishes elected?
Well, that's the thing. And so we can talk about this is, I don't know what to think. And again, if you're on Zoom, pop in. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. I don't know what to think about the election and the lawsuits going forward. I think it's good that it's going to the Supreme Court. It seems to me that, and Sidney Powell's lawsuit, I mean, different lawsuits have different things, but you read it. It seems to me that the appellate court in Pennsylvania basically said what we needed to see was a fraudulent ballot.
Proof
of a fraudulent ballot. You brought up, this is my paraphrasing it, questionable circumstances, suspicious circumstances, all of this, but no actual proof or evidence of a fraudulent ballot. Now, I guess the president's team would be arguing, well, just all of these circumstances, it's all circumstantial. And when you put it all together, but it appears the courts are not buying that, at least the appellate court.
Appellate court is composed of one Trump nominee and two George Bush nominees. So it wasn't a Democratic court. It's sort of, well, they get to cheat, And they say,
what do you think the Supreme Court will do? My guess would be they say same.
Well, look at the votes. You got the three Democrats and they'll never, they don't care if it's fraud or not. You got Roberts who hates Trump. So then you have five. All you need is one of the other five to flip, and they'll easily do that. And they may all flip. I mean, there's a huge one that you saw with Laura Ingraham, and that's just sort of our democracy. It's the mere fact that half the people think we don't have a democracy anymore is irrelevant.
Well, and I think what's interesting though, I mean, Arizona, I think is going to have a hearing. Nevada's going to have a hearing.
Well, who's having a hearing?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, no, I think there's going to be court hearings. So not just like the hearing in Pennsylvania where the big hearing was, in front of a bunch of legislators, which is good. I think that was good. I mean, you need to argue that. But and I see Ben has said he's just started reading Sidney Powell's filing. Ben, if you want to pop in, you certainly would certainly like to hear from you on this too, because I know you have a lot of experience in local elections. And thank God for Adams County and Jefferson County, which the Republicans didn't certify it. But Ben, your take on where things stand now and on the Georgia lawsuit.
Well, I just started reading the Georgia lawsuit. And from what I understand, of course, I have not gotten all the way through it. I've just started that there is a lot of questions about the electronic voting and where the origins of this Smartmatic software was. So she's laying out this evidence that she's presenting to the case. These are the things that Tucker Carlson was trying to extract from her. And kind of had his little tantrum because she wouldn't tell him.
Right.
But now, here it is. And so this particular filing is 75 pages long. So it's pretty lengthy.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's Michigan. So I haven't read that one yet either. But I mean, we're talking about novels here as far as the filings. And there's a lot of people that are involved.
Yeah. You know what's funny to me is when you read the mainstream media reports of it, they all said typo-filled lawsuit, like somehow or another. None of them actually read it. None of them discussed the merits of it. And I can tell you what, having read a bunch of lawsuits, particularly when they're filed hastily, like this one had to be, it is not at all unusual to find typos. I mean, that's, would you say, Chuck? I mean, you don't want to have it, but that's because it's being done. Probably you got a bunch of people trying to probably put it together.
Especially when you're doing tens of, you know, huge.
The other thing I think, Ben, though, is Sidney Powell, you're right. She was arguing, I think, on two levels, because I haven't read the whole thing, but I've read about a million in analysis of it. Well, not a million, but at any rate, she kind of talks about the suspicious circumstances about Dominion, the software and sort of the electronics. But they also, I think in there, I'm pretty sure she also talks about some of the people, which would be fraud and provable, where people were registering to PO boxes, things like that. People had moved and they were sending in ballots. I mean, that kind of stuff, I think, is important because that's the kind of stuff, you know, that the court can like look at. And I, you know what I mean? And I hope that they do.
I think that you can see the different teams here are going in different directions. Yeah. And I think this is why Sidney Powell wanted to essentially distance herself. So she would not expose the president. If she claimed that she represented him, then he could be deposed in this case. And he and some of his other people. So it would just drag on forever. So
She also attacks the governor of Georgia, who's a Republican, and names the Secretary of State, who's a Republican, as a defendant. Well, that's a little hard if you're the president. You can't really.
Particularly with the election coming up on the 5th. Well, what do you think? What do you make of the appellate court? I mean, I don't think it's time. I don't think we give up hope until it's over.
I agree. I think that there is light at the tunnel, although it may be a train coming at us, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. I think that, you know, as I said, there are these two different teams that are operating. You have Lynn Woods out there, you have Sidney Powell and her team, and then you have Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis. And so Rudy and Jenna are going at it from a kind of a constitutional direction where they're trying to convince the state house in Pennsylvania to take action and name their own electors.
So
that's a different tact altogether. And so I think that's where the president and his team are going to, and he's leaving the other evidentiary testing in the the court cases to Sidney and Lynn and others. So that's the way I read it.
I think on top of that too, hopefully I get the impression Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood are also fighting a bigger fight, whether Trump wins or doesn't win. I think anybody watching this, and some of the polls do show this, it's appalling. Our electoral system is it's a joke now. It is third world. You know where you can
including here in Colorado.
It started here in Colorado. Yes. It's the model, and I think
absolutely. Again,
any Republican lawmaker out there that thinks that, you know, if they get away with this, they're going to do it again and again and again. I mean, they're not going to ever be able to prove it. And this time they didn't even really try to hide it very hard. They drove in boxes, they shredded stuff. They've got ballots that, you know, people lived, they registered them illegally. They, you know, send all these absentee ballots, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, this is one of the things that Dick Morris said this morning on Newsmax, was that the Democrats were brilliant at this because they did not do it in one single state. They spread it over five or six states. So they knew that it would just cause a tremendous amount of effort to uncover this in the various states and the various laws that applied there.
Right. Well, and then they had all those emergency laws that they passed too, right? I mean, what do you do?
Well, they didn't pass them. They had they had unelected people saying, oh, no, we'll extend that.
No verification.
Poll workers, no, you can't look at our ballots and stuff. They did everything here in Colorado and elsewhere to cheat. I mean, and they do cheat. And they got away with it in Colorado so often and so successfully. It's just disgraceful.
Yeah, well, I still have hope. I think that, I can see as we move up this court system and, each one of the Supreme Court justices have been assigned each one of these states to oversee what's going on there.
Okay.
So as we move further into the court system and get to the Supreme Court, this is where I think that Chuck is absolutely right. We have a feckless leader in the Chief Justice there, who will do everything in his power and avoid doing his job, his oath that was taken. He's failing to do that. But thank God we got Amy Coney Barrett on there. Mm-hmm. I think she has bigger testicles than he does.
Yes.
I don't doubt it.
I hope so too. Hey, well, Ben, thank you for weighing in. Thank you. Appreciate it. Happy day after Thanksgiving.
You bet. I wish you guys would go for like 3 hours because I enjoy you so much.
Well, thank you. Okay. We're working on all of that. One of the things that I think Jenna Ellis said, and you're the lawyer. So where she said, they were saying, well, this is circumstantial. You know, they talk about cases where people go in and they have the USB cards, right, which they're plugging into the computer. What's with that? You know, I mean, when like some 40 of them that are on that missing.
Here's my problem. Rudy hasn't really practiced law in 30 years. Yeah. Jenna went to a grade C law school and is not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And for this kind of case, you need some really sharp lawyers. I think Lynn Wood's a sharp lawyer. I think Sidney Powell's a very sharp lawyer, but now they're separated. And so you've got a strange, you don't have the best and the brightest.
But what I'm saying though is you would, you know, they when you look at all of this stuff, I mean, I've covered a lot of trials, and circumstantial evidence is evidence, right? The judges explain that to the jury at the beginning of the trial. They're like, you're going to have direct evidence and then you're going to have circumstantial evidence. The direct evidence would be this person saying, I did not cast that ballot that has my name on it. You know, I voted for Trump, that kind of stuff. Or here's, I voted in all these different states. That would be direct evidence.
You're going to have to get somebody who's willing to look at the math. That, you know, they constantly point out that these voting groups,
batches
are a statistical impossibility. Well, if they're a statistical impossibility, then it would be a strong indication of fraud, certainly in the tax case.
And that's circumstantial. Well, and that's where I was going. Circumstantial evidence is allowed. So just like you said, and if you were to take like a tax kind of case, so you've got, you know, all kinds of funny math things going on. Your bookkeeper suddenly leaves, a new bookkeeper comes. I mean, you can put all of this together and you can, you know.
That's what tax cases are usually. And they get convictions and everything else.
Right.
And I think, you know, quite frankly, that unless a court has a full hearing where the evidence is presented and even on a highly expedited basis and so forth, and they let the other side
counter
and say no, this
is what the USB card really said, because that's very telling. If the other side, like you said, you need a hearing, because it's one thing to say, you know, okay, well, we saw them and we have this videotape of these people going around sticking USB cards into the computers that now are missing, we can't find any of it, and then the person, if they come up and they say, oh no, here they are, and they plug them in and they're all legit. But if they can't do that, then that in and of itself is more circumstantial evidence.
You know, in any election there's glitches and there's people voting that shouldn't vote and so forth. But this doesn't seem to be in that, you know, that you could overturn every election based on that. This seems to be a massive case of attempted to hijack an election. And in fact, everybody knew it coming in. And unfortunately,
because they said they were going to do it.
They didn't say they're going to do it, but everybody accused them of it. But even then, election night, you know, they got overwhelmed. And I haven't heard an explanation. Maybe it was a good one. Why they all called off.
Had to quit counting. Exactly. And get a judge in there. And when I said they said they were going to do it, that's why they were changing all their regulations and their laws. That's why they suddenly say, oh, no, we can accept ballots
forever.
And no, we're not going to bother to verify signatures.
No.
And we're not going to bother to verify this. We're not going to bother to verify that, because that would be voter suppression.
Right.
Why, you ask yourself, do they need that rule? They know they needed it because they were going to cheat.
Right.
I don't know. It is, I think, a huge step. I get that if you're the court to overturn an election or to at least say we need to do something different, because, you know, the Biden lawyers are, I'm sure, waiting in the wings.
Well, that tells you,
I think even more,
because they know they don't want to go to court to have to explain it, because their explanation will be as bad. It could be as telling as the charge. And so they've wisely shut up and they don't say anything.
No.
They don't justify anything.
No, they just say we won, which is a smart. I mean,
he's threatening our democracy. What democracy?
Well, and then they say stuff like, and then they play with the headlines like Trump says he won't leave the White House unless Trump clearly said, and he's always said, yeah, if I lose, I'll leave the White House. And if the court's remedy doesn't work, he's not going to make the army come in and take him. And they've launched the transition process, which I don't think any of us should take as Trump giving up in any way, shape or form. No, I don't think so either. Well, there's too much you don't know. I mean, they're coming up with evidence. If they're having these hearings, again, they're going to have the hearing in Nevada, a hearing before court in Nevada, in Arizona. Now we've got this case going up to the Supreme Court. Who knows what's going to happen in Georgia? My guess would be they'll expedite that and do something. Okay. I mean,
Ben was noting that each justice is assigned several states. There are 9 justices in 50 states. So, each justice has quite a few states.
Mm-hmm.
But as a practical matter, Georgia falls under Clarence Thomas's. So that's.
Oh. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So we shall see. And again, you know, the corporate media make a big deal about the fact that of this and that. And again, some of the states take until December 14th, 15th, 16th to verify or to certify the results anyway. So it's not like, you know, Trump needs to leave like right now. And they're pretending he shouldn't get to make any decisions and he shouldn't have cleared, you know, General Flynn. Oh, like, keep in mind, at this time, 4 years ago, the Obama administration, the Obama White House was openly spying on the Trump campaign and the Trump people. They were setting them up for criminal charges. They were lying through their teeth to the media about everything. So I don't want to hear, oh, Trump isn't playing nice on the smooth transition.
Well, I have to say the General Flynn thing really bothers me.
How come?
Because it's clear that the FBI was crooked, the Department of Justice was crooked, the charges were fraudulently brought all the way through, and yet you'll read the New York Daily News.
Oh, I thought you meant you were bothered because he got pardoned.
No, I'm not.
Oh, I was like,
pardoned.
Oh no, they keep
saying, oh, he admitted to lying, you know, as if they were going to destroy
And what do they do now when you read some of the articles? What they say about this election fraud, the Jenna Ellis and the Rudy Giuliani cases, they call it their debunked evidence. It's like, it hasn't been debunked. It hasn't even been countered. There, you have courts that are saying, look, it doesn't rise to the level that we're going to do something about it. But no one is saying it's not true. No, they don't care. Well, and that's another.
But people don't, you know, you just kind of go, if the Justice Department and the FBI can do that to a national security advisor, what do you think they do in regular criminal cases?
Well, we've seen it.
And if you let them do it, and if you justify it, like the New York Daily News did and others, you know, saying, and the usual idiot Democratic legislators in Washington saying this is an abomination, you know, they're the abomination. I mean, I wish, you know, it'd be nice if you had a few of them kind of go, yeah, that wasn't good what they did. It just wasn't. No, they don't care. It's just.
No, you've got a few. It's got to be weird being inside probably the Fox News, although maybe everyone's working remotely, so they don't have to deal with each other that much. You clearly have different camps there. And you do see the rise at Newsmax. You know, some of that, I was reading one analysis and it said, you know, that basically this happened before, that every time after the one side loses, people quit watching Yeah. It gives me that network. Yes. And I think there's something to be said for that. But I also think
that is part of it.
I agree. But I also think, though, a big part of it is people, and I think this is going to be playing out here in the next few years, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. Dangerous, I think, to see what happens. Just a complete lack of trust in the mainstream media. and then you have, again, with Mayor Hancock, you have, you know, the clear hypocrisy. So people aren't going to listen to him, hopefully, anymore. And in the meantime, you have governments telling you, no, you can't go to church, but you can go, you can get drunk and, you know.
Well, now you can't even do that. Well, you go to liquor store.
You can get drunk now. After Christmas Eve, we're going to have to stock up again. But I mean, it's just people, I think, I'm hoping, are beginning to say, hey, wait a minute. I think American people, you know, are busy. And I think it takes a lot to rile them up. But I think you've got 73 million people right now who are really riled up. And they're not going to settle down and go back to watching Fox News and say, oh, well, I guess I just stay locked down now. You know, I guess I'll just see my business crumble and hope that I get a $300 stimulus check.
And it's clear that Fox's corporate intent now is to sway its many conservative viewers to be more moderate, to be more like Phil Anschutz, to be a kind of a mushy Republican. And that's their goal. The entire Murdoch family is all have hundreds of millions of dollars, and they never have to worry about a penny again, ever. And so what becomes more important to them is to influence public.
Yeah, let's go to Ben on Zoom, and then Mark will go to you on Zoom. Great. Go ahead, Ben.
This is a kind of a sore point with me, because I was a pretty loyal Fox News follower for years. And so when they started just giving me about a 5-minute overview of some of these court cases, and I personally think that this is the most important thing that's happened in our history's our country's history since the Civil War, and we're marching towards that, and they're kind of just giving me what is the best dessert for Thanksgiving and stuff like that. And that's why I started listening to the Newsmax, because right. Newsmax is spending much more time and delving into it much deeper than what any other station is doing. And so that's the only place I'm starting to get good news from, and on each side of it. So, I mean, they lean certainly to the right, but at least you get some ideas to what's going on. Because like you guys pointed out, you don't hear a peep from the other side about trying to disprove what these allegations are.
They just say,
he won. You know, right. That's why I don't have a Twitter account. I went to Parler. That's why I'm starting to listen to Newsmax more. And this morning, Newsmax was reporting that some of the booking agents that they have on Fox is telling those people that they don't want them to go on Newsmax.
Right. And
Murdoch said, we love competition. Sure you do.
I've worked in that world for a while, and I can tell you the booking process is always vicious. And I remember one time during the Ramsey case, the Good Morning America people were trying to book a detective in the case. And I mean, basically they wanted me to like attach myself by a chain to his ankle to make and intercept any phone calls that might be coming from somebody else. So they play hardball in the best of times, or in whatever regular time. I have no doubt that they're telling people, if you go on Newsmax, we will never book you again. Or what they're doing that's even trickier, I think, is they're probably calling them up at the same time and making the person choose where they go.
Well, then I would have to go to Newsmax. I mean, the only person I certainly have some confidence in on Fox over there is Maria Bartiromo. Maria is really taking over that spot. And she's destroying Chris Wallace, which is righteous. So I'm okay with that. Hey, Mark, it's your turn, buddy.
All right, thank you, Ben. Hey, okay. Mark, we see you there. Happy day after Thanksgiving, Mark. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. What I want to know is, if the courts don't take this, if the courts put it down, do they really think 75 million of us are going away? We're mad as hell.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, I'm personally mad as hell. And the other day, Chuck talked a little bit about people have to get hurt sometime to have change or revolution. And when I was in school, we learned that real change doesn't happen without it. I heard how do you say his name? Dan Bongino?
Dan Bongino.
He was talking the other night, and he said he was absolutely sure that the people in the center and the right would not go to violence. And I thought, you just made a huge mistake, buddy, because I believe, like Ben just said, we're at a turning point in our country, and all my friends do too. And we're not going to stand down if the courts walk away from it. It's like, what kind of government do they think they're going to have now where they want to shut the world down? There is, I believe, such a thing as a lot of us don't talk because we get shut down. We're afraid to talk. It's just, it's not really worth it because they're going to put us down. And I think that pent-up anger is going to come out in ways they have no idea.
Well, and I think maybe not even violence, but I think we're seeing that, you know, when the government, when you have the elected mayor of Denver telling us not to fly and not to do stuff, and then he flies, people are just saying, they're not holding big protests, they're not holding rallies, they're just saying, screw it, I'm gonna fly, I'm gonna go do this, I'm gonna open my business. And Mark, I think then here's where it gets tricky, and you guys may be right. So what do you do then when you're all sitting there at the restaurant and the health department comes and tells everyone to leave? Then you don't leave. And then fortunately you've got some good law enforcement agencies that say, we're not going to go arrest those people. So, you know, the left has used civil disobedience and then some. And I agree with you, for people that flat out say, oh no, we're not going to go there.
Well, the left has made us stand down right now because what happens, we have a little rally and Randy Corcoran started one. And what happens? Somebody gets killed and Randy says, oh, it's fine. You know, we'll show up and we're going to do whatever. And Peter Boyles was going, no, you shouldn't show up because somebody's going to get hurt. Well, Peter does it because he wants to be right. Randy, I think, was doing the right thing. And it's like, we've got to stand up. There's a point when this is over that I believe a lot of us are going to go, no, we're going to stand up no matter what it takes. Right. And I think this is the time. And I really hope the courts do it. I do have a question for Chuck on the courts. Okay, some of this stuff gets to the Supreme Court. Roberts doesn't want it. Don't they all have to vote whether they take it or not? Roberts can't control it 100%, can he?
No. It's in order to take a case, 4 of the 9 have to agree to take the case. So 4 of 9 have to agree that they want the case, the emergency appeal or whatever else it is. Roberts does not control that.
I'm glad to know that, because I think it was up to him. It wouldn't be good. That's all I have to say. I'm just
saying, Mark. Thanks so much for joining us.
We appreciate it. And this is from Sandra. I'm mad as hell also, Mark, and know many people who feel the same thing. And Sandra, don't worry about your typos. You and Sidney Powell, I know what you meant. Yeah, I think that they're right. I mean, that, you know, 73, 75 million people we've stood by. We let them tell us, okay, stay home, you know, so you save people. But then as it became clear, it was not true. They with the election, they didn't even really try to pretend like they weren't cheating. At a certain point, people just are going to say, what do you got to lose? You know, like I said, my friend who said, so they close me. So they take my license away. She's like, I'm going to have to fold if I can't open anyway. So I might as well go down fighting. And
it's an amazing time. It really is.
Yeah. Because I think that kind of wrap us up. We can head out a little. I want to remind folks.
Well, I want to talk about Senator Jennifer. Right, you know, we're going into our particular period now where I eat too much. You know, Thanksgiving, I love turkey and everything else. So I'll gain a little weight during this time and hopefully keep it in control and then get down to my height, to my school weight beginning of the year and stuff. And that's thanks to Synergetics, and they're with you all the way. They have a whole program for you. They look at all your diet. They look at all your you know, what you need. Do you need more vitamin C, or are you fine there? Do you need D, E, all the rest of them? and they come up with a program for you. And that's, you know, some people can stay thin just on their own. Good for them.
Not good for them. We don't like them.
The rest of us can use some help and people who are behind us. And that's what Dr. Julie McCallum is. So if you want to get healthy for whatever reason, give her a call at 720-387-3681.
All right. And what do we got? A little thing. Bones Bonnie Well from Ben. That's right. All right, right, guys. Hey, that's going to do it for us Monday. We'll try to get hold of Patrick, but there's a special session. I think a lot of stuff going on next week.
All good news for you folks.
Only good news here.
Oh, those Democratic legislators are looking out for you and your
family.
Right.
Look at the list. You'll be shocked when we tell you what they're going to what they're going to do with the money. Well, actually, you won't be shocked. You'll be like dismayed.
Disgusted, maybe.
You'll be more angry. Hey, everybody, thank you for coming on today. Thank you for the folks who joined us on Zoom and everybody else.
Happy Black Friday.
Wait, let me tell people how to find us. Catch our podcast at chuckandjulie.com. You can listen live there as well. The other thing too, you want to follow us on Parler, or Chuck and Julie on Parler. We are also, if you go to YouTube, we'd love to have you subscribe and like us, because that kind of thing really helps. We're also on Rumble now.
So
if you have and it's a Chuck and Julie show, so it's not that hard to find. And also for some of the folks who just want to have the audio only, we're on Podbean. So it's the Chuck and Julie show.
You don't want to see our beautiful faces.
Yeah, for whatever. At Podbean. Well, I think sometimes too, it's hard for people, but you can just go to Podbean, you know, the Chuck and Julie show. We're all over the place. You can't get away from us. thank you all for everybody. Thank you to the guys at BBS.
And thank you, all the folks that make this show possible.
All right.
Thank you.
See you Monday.